We're privileged this morning to hear from three ladies in our church, and I'm excited to hear what they have to say, what God's been putting on their hearts this week, what they have to share for us. So if my mom, Pat, and Kim, and Jenny, if you just want to come up, and if you just, three of you want to sit together here on the bench, they're going to each share with us for a few minutes, and I will pray for you. Lord, I am grateful for the guidance that we as kids get from our mothers and from all the moms, Lord, in this church. Just the wisdom that they provide for us, and the love that they share and are dedicated to giving us, Lord. I thank you for these three ladies and their willingness to share with us this morning. I just pray that you will just calm their hearts and speak through them, Lord. Help us to hear the things that you would have for us through them this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Had I known my son was going to moderate this morning and give such a lovely introduction, you still have both your hands, Bradley, right? Okay. Happy Mother's Day. We are a blessed group, those of us who have had one of life's greatest joys to become a mother. Some of us became mothers through natural birth, and others the wonderful gift of adoption. Today we celebrate the blessing of motherhood. Mother's Day, a time to reflect and look back, a time to celebrate the present and give thanks. We remember our mothers, some no longer with us. Many of us have had to say goodbye to our mothers, very difficult whenever it happens. To be without a mother forever leaves a hole in your heart. For others here, you have experienced an even greater pain. That is being a mother who has lost a precious child. I cannot imagine that kind of pain. For you, Mother's Day must be bittersweet. Grateful for the life that was given you, and yet an incredible sadness that I'm sure must be intense on Mother's Day. You, mothers, are my heroes. Today we also celebrate other mothers in our lives, women who did not give natural birth to us, but women who God placed in our lives when we needed them, to love us, support and encourage us, and that was the mother that we needed. For me, my mother-in-law, Catherine, was one of those, very special to me, especially the years following my mother's death. More on that in a little bit. As I contemplated this very broad Mother's Day subject, I was admittedly overwhelmed. Where do I start? 10 minutes? Really? What's important? I don't know. I'm no expert. Lessons from motherhood. Many, that's for sure. A statement I heard years ago was this, what Bradley referenced. Parenting is a life sentence. And for today, I will focus on motherhood, a life sentence. Let's not interpret that in a negative way. It simply means that once we become a parent, a mother, it never ceases. The responsibilities, the time invested, the prayers prayed, all change as the years roll by, but much remains the same. We never stop being the mom, loving, supporting, caring, and praying. That never changes. The circle becomes larger, including more precious ones to love. When Joe and I got married many years ago, it was just the two of us, easy to keep track of. Then a few years later, our family became three with the arrival of Allison in 1976. Wow, life did change. There is a Chinese proverb that says, there is only one pretty baby in the world, and each mother has it. Well, I had it. I can clearly remember one of the very first days holding her and feeling her little soft breath on my cheek. Amazing life, the breath of God in this darling little girl. The incredible gift of life created by God and given to us. We felt the weight of responsibility. 2 years later, we were blessed with our son, Bradley. We were now a team of four. We felt very blessed and grateful. Those years now, looking back, seem mostly joyful. We had our struggles, to be sure, but by God's grace, we kept our faith and our family our primary focus. Our goal was to raise a godly woman and a godly man to love and serve God. One lesson we learned was the importance of being a good example to our children. Someone has said, what a child says, he has learned at home. We found that to be true. Good attitudes, truthfulness, honesty, our children were learning from us, for good or not so good. We learned that consistency was vital. Dr. Phil says it like this: the greatest influence in any child's life is the same gender parent. So for girls, the mother will be the greatest influence in her life. For boys, it will be dad. Your kids will be influenced by many others, so make sure that you, as the parent, are the very best influence that your child has. Other role models are also very important. We understood the influence and importance of extended family and friends. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins all help shape our children. Equally as important is a caring church family. We found that here and are eternally grateful to many of you that have prayed, played, cared, and supported Allison and Bradley during those formative years. I often prayed that God would make up for what Joe and I lacked and the many mistakes that we made. And soon, a few years later, our family of four became five, with Jonathan coming as son-in-law and Steffi joining us next. We love our in-laws as our own. A few more years and then the six grandkids, truly the greatest reward for being a parent. The circle is bigger, more to love, more to pray for. Every occasion to be together is special as memories are made. All the sacrifices, hard work, and time spent raising a family is coming back in great rewards for us. Like mother, like daughter. What daughter does, mother did. Again, the power of example. Our children reflect us. A little scary to think about, but also a truth to hold on to as you pour yourself into your children. No job on earth takes the strength, stamina, commitment, and determination that is required to be a great parent. And above all, the help and the wisdom that God provides. God knew what he was doing when he designed for two parents, a mom and a dad. Today we focus on moms, but equally as important are you dads. I am so grateful to Joe. He made our home together what it was by his faithfulness in so many ways. I cannot reflect on Mother's Day without remembering my own mother. Those of you who no longer have a mother here on earth will understand. I learned much from my mother. She lived a faithful life, loved the Lord, my dad, and us kids. I have mostly happy memories growing up. I know, time fades the tough stuff. We were a happy bunch of eight kids most of the time. I was in the middle. My parents worked hard to raise their family, providing all that we needed. We were not wealthy, but we lacked nothing important. I knew I was loved. Church was our life, socially and spiritually. We attended faithfully, a lesson that I learned at an early age. As we kids grew up, got married, and moved out, we continued to enjoy a lot of great family time with my parents as well as Joe's mom and dad. The time was cut short when my mom died of cancer when I was 28 years old. Allison and Bradley were just little, and to know they would no longer have grandma was very painful to me. My mother had been my biggest cheerleader. I knew she prayed for me and my family. She encouraged me, shared my joys, and cheered me through the difficult days of being a mother to little ones. Through her illness, she clung to Jesus, a terrific example of faith to me. She was not afraid of dying, but she wanted to live for my dad and her children. But God had other plans. Psalms 139 says, "All the days the Lord has planned for me were written in the book before one of them came to be." It was a painful journey for me to accept that, but through time and God's grace, I came to a place of peace, trusting in a loving God who knew what he was doing. Psalm 78:4 says, "We will tell the next generation the awesome deeds of the Lord." My mother did that. May I be as faithful to pass on her legacy of faith to future generations. Prayer is an important lesson that I have learned and continue to learn. As parents, nothing we do for our children is more important. We pray about many things for our children and our grandchildren. We pray for God's leading and direction in their lives, the choices they make for protection physically and spiritually. We pray that they would have hearts that love God and would follow him faithfully. Surrender. The hardest lesson I've had to learn. You can make your plans, and I did, hoping they were God's plans too. Sometimes they were, sometimes not so much. Psalm 16:9 says, "A man plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps." Not always easy, but it is essential that we come to the point of releasing our children to the Lord. We never dreamed Guatemala would be in our family plans, but it is, and we are surrendered and excited to see what God is going to do. Yes, sometimes we still grieve over plans changed, but maybe that is all part of God changing us. Recently, someone shared this. Keep Jesus on the throne, your kids on the altar, and make sure it is never switched. God, give us the grace to remember that. 3 John says, "There is no greater joy than seeing your children walking in the ways of God." How true. Nothing can compare. No amount of success, financial or otherwise, can compare to the joy of seeing our children walking in faithful obedience to the Lord. When we dedicated them to the Lord as babies, we promised to be willing to send them wherever God would lead them. Easy to say way back then, when the future was so far away. But the future is here, the time is now. We release our children to the Lord, all 10 of them. The Lord's plans, we do not know, but by his grace we surrender them to follow where he leads. And in closing, I want to acknowledge our daughter Allison and Stephanie for the wonderful, wonderful mothers that you are to our grandchildren. For the privilege of being a mom, I am so grateful. Our children and our grandchildren fill us with joy beyond words. Everyone is so very special, beautiful, and precious. For the gift that God has entrusted to us, we are most humbled. Stay strong, dear mothers. You do not labor in vain.
Good morning. This is what you might get when you ask a children's church teacher to talk to you. One of my grandsons told me he has a picture brain. Well, as I started to think about what I have learned over the years as a mother and what I should talk about this morning, I found myself thinking with a picture brain. I thought I'd share a few of my indelible memories with you this morning in order to paint a picture of what I have learned as a mother. I will start by painting a picture for you of me. It's not a pretty picture. This particular picture is from a very early age, the age when the finger of God is poking you. I was a worrier. Not a warrior, a worrier. I could worry about just about anything. You name it, and I could find all the reasons to worry. I was a hair-twisting, nail-biting worrywart. This is what God had to work with because I gave my worrisome self to him. I read that confidence and courage were mine as a child of God. The peace of God is my fortress. John 14:27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. 1 Peter 5:7 says he cares for you, thus we should not worry. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. I read a quote by John MacArthur. Worry is the sin of distrusting the promise and providence of God, and yet it is a sin that Christians commit perhaps more frequently than any other. I love a good memory. When Roy and I wake in the morning, I often ask him to give me a good memory. He knows all good memories are fair game, new ones, old ones, and my all-time favorite one that I'll never tire of hearing. Remember when I stood in front of your locker? We were both 16. Such a memorable brushstroke was made that day. It was May 15th, 1972, 45 years ago tomorrow. God's matchmaking skills are spot on. He gives me, the worrisome nail biter, the best gift of all. Someone who did not know how to worry about anything. I could say the rest is history, but it's Mother's Day, and my picture brain is ready to share my story about what I have learned while being a mom. So we marry and start a family. Our firstborn arrives. I'd like to say here that living with Mr. Never Worried a Day in His Life, and with God, who is always willing to take the paintbrush out of my tightly clenched fist, that I no longer worry. But no, we come home from the hospital with our sweet baby girl, and I worry. Is she getting enough milk? I don't know. We must weigh her before and after every meal, I tell Roy. And boy, oh boy, infants eat often. Any parent that has taken their infant to the doctors and has to set them on that cold, hard scale knows the reaction. Their hands fly up and they cry and won't hold still. It wasn't until she started to resemble a butterball turkey did I have enough confidence to put the scale away. By the time we had our third child, we remarked how easy rearing infants was nowadays, and we'd laugh about that scale packed away in the bottom of a closet somewhere. Then we had a son. Zach loved the outdoors. His first summer, not yet a year old, Roy built a small fenced-in area just outside the door so he could play while I worked in the kitchen. Already I could see he was looking beyond his safe little play area into the great big world beyond the neighbor's yard. Because as I did dishes, I could see the neighbors waving at the little boy peering at them from his garden gate. And one day I noticed that Zach always seemed to know how old he was for different events in his life. So I asked, how is it you remember how old you were? He says, oh, that's easy. Up until I was 5, I was only allowed to play in the mowed yard. And when I was 7, I could play in the fields as long as you could see me from the window. And when I was 9, I could play in the woods, but not near the creek. Then I got a 4-wheeler. I could cross the creek. And soon, oh, so very soon, the distance was greater and greater. He taught me how important it is to pay attention to the little boy or the little girl that wants nothing more than to hold your hand and be by your side. Because if you blink, you just might miss it. Valerie is now 16, and she can drive. Well, she has a piece of paper that says she can. But after her first trip around the block, Roy pulls me to one side and says, "This is not going to be very easy." He buys her a car he called a field bomb and tells her to drive it around the cow pasture as often as she can. He parked a hay wagon and some machinery around the field. She was to practice parallel parking and three-point turns. The wagon and the car were getting pretty beat up. And one day she snagged the electric fence on a three-point turn and dragged that around the field a few times. But she worked very diligently and was finally ready to take the test. She took a practice run that morning. It happened to be a very windy day. And Roy sees a plastic gallon milk jug come a-flying across someone's yard and into the street. And it lands right beneath the car, causing a great loud ruckus as it scrapes the road. This alarms Val, and she does not know what's happening. And she wants to pull over and stop. Roy calmly says, "No, it's okay. Keep going. The wind just blew a milk jug under the car. It's stuck, and it will probably pop out soon." Well, an hour later, she's off to take the driving test, and lo and behold, she passes. She tells us that as she was being tested, she sees a plastic gallon milk jug blowing across the street heading her way. It jams under the car just like it had done an hour earlier. The testing person freaked out, just like Val did, and wonders, "What's going on? You'd better pull over and see." But Valerie was able to calmly tell him that the wind just blew a plastic milk jug under the car, and it will probably pop out soon. Sometimes the brush strokes are obvious and in your face, but God cares about every detail, every aspect of our lives, no matter how small. Isaiah 41:10 says, "To fear not, for I am with you." It also says, "Be not dismayed, for I am your God." And it says, "I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now, when our youngest was just 4 years old, she announced, "I'm going to be a nurse when I grow up." She never faltered. If ever asked what she wanted to be, the answer was always and firmly, "A nurse." Being her teacher, I was pretty sure this would be a rather difficult undertaking. The child could not follow instructions well at all. A simple color by number would come back to me with all the wrong colors, and she'd exclaim that she thinks it looks much better her way. Then she found out that a field trip to a nursing home was a possibility. She made me take her often so she could visit with the residents. I did not like this because she made me visit them with her too. She'd say, "Divide and conquer, Mom. It's so difficult," I told her. "They're mean and grumpy." She told me, "You'd be mean and grumpy too. Just pat their hand, say kind words, and go to the next room." So on the next visit, I tell her, "I think I'll just wait for you here in the foyer." Then I'd have to go get her, and she'd be visiting, playing games, or polishing fingernails with happy-looking, grumpy people. By eighth grade, she had me visiting community college with her to find out what she needs to do to enter the nursing program. They tell her she's inquiring much too soon and to come back in a few years. "No," she says, "let's talk to the director of the nursing program and see if she can help me." "No," says the director, "you are too young and need to complete a number of prerequisites, and you need experience before entering this program." So at age 15, she started taking the prerequisites. At 16, she got a job as an aide in a nursing home, and she figures now she's ready. The director of nursing is still very skeptical and gives no hope at all that Kate will get in because the program is very limited in class size and the chance of a high school grad being accepted is about 4%. So she applies. And while she waits to hear if they'll take her, she decides to apply for a scholarship. She writes a one-page paper on kindness. I tried to encourage her to maybe write more, follow the directions, be sure to cross your T's and dot your I's, but just like color by number in kindergarten, she's pretty sure what she's done is good enough. With that one-page paper, she wins a fully paid scholarship. Only problem was, she still had not heard if she was accepted yet. But God knew. He knew all along that she would be. What have I learned by being a mother? I was not the artist, the designer, the maker of my most indelible memories. I see God's hand directing our paths at every turn. Did I ever need to worry? No. Do I still worry? Sometimes. Sometimes I still hold the brush too tightly. But God has always been true to his word. He has never left me nor forsaken me. I no longer think of things to worry about. I mostly spend my days in awesome wonder at the goodness of God and what he did for a sinner like me. I'm thankful God used my children to help me grow in faith, and that is why this is a happy Mother's Day for me.
Well, I kind of got lost in the stories and realized, oops, it's my turn. I just want to share with you that actually I put down Mom's Lessons from Adonai. And these are just a few, but trust is one, and relinquish or surrender is another lesson. So I'm going to start with trust, and we could go on and on, couldn't we? But definition is to place confidence in, to depend on, to commit or place in one's care or keeping, to rely on, to hope and believe in. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. So many wonderful verses about trusting. And I am grateful Bill and I did not start out knowing the Lord personally, but we had parents who made sure we went to church. And so together, probably the second year of our marriage, we began to know the living God personally. And I've always been, both of us are very grateful that we could raise a family with that understanding, because it changed a lot. And I was also fearful. I was full of fear. But when the Lord came to me, he planted in me a faith. Faith is a gift. But I had a gift that I had never, ever known. The faith to believe in him, that he was going to take care of Bill in Vietnam, that he was going to help us start our family while Bill is gone. That was truly faith, because I didn't really worry. Made a trip back from Colorado to Buffalo, lived with my parents on the weekend, and lived with his parents in Buffalo during the week, had a job, and waited. God had plans for him to be home, and they were plans for good. Yes, he came home wounded and slightly broken, but he was amazing to have with me, because our baby was born the next month. At the end of that month, our baby was born, our first son. And so he gave us many things to just see. But one of the first lessons I learned, I was reading, I think it was Catherine Marshall's book, about relinquishment and surrender. And it's relinquishment is to leave behind, to give up, to release, to yield, are my words, submit, lay on the altar, surrender. And James 4, 7 and 8 says, submit yourself then to the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I knew that God was always there, even when I didn't really know how or why. And I had a lot of fear again. But it was much different with that faith, that trust that he put in me. And I began to realize that our children are not our own, as has been said here. Realizing that in an accident when Tom was 5, he was the oldest son, and then we had a young son, Jim, who was just really a year, I think. And we were in an accident together, and Tom was very badly hurt. And without realizing that the other was doing it, we both surrendered Tom to the Lord and said, if I remember what I said, if he's to go with you, then you'll help us. If he is to be injured badly, you will help us. And right after that, the doctor came in and said, well, we had to operate on the brain, but he will be okay. Really don't see anything wrong. They put him back together. And as far as we could see, he was doing very well. But there started to be some problems when he grew older. And he was making decisions that were really hurting him, hurting his family. Very strange and very hard to see him doing to himself. And we really didn't understand, but he became very depressed. And at the age of 41, he committed suicide. During those times, it was a lot of releasing time. It was times of prayer that were just very difficult to know how to pray. And I even tried to help by getting my two cents in and trying to talk to him about some things, and that made it worse. So I realized, you know what? I just need to listen to him. When I hear him call, I need to listen to him. I need to encourage him. I need to love him. And that really is the only way that the two of us got through that. He knew my love. He knew Bill's love. And we believe very firmly, because of God's promise, he loved God. And he is in heaven, and he's waiting for us. And now he's completely whole. No more damage. No more heartache. And we pray and trust, knowing that those precious two grandsons we have from Tom are also going to be taken care of. And so when I hear that there might be a struggle here and a struggle there, I just go back to that place on my knees and surrender them, because God knows best. And he will bring what he wants to bring into their lives. And I just need to love them and encourage them and support them. So that has been a little bit of what's happened. We have wonderful grandchildren. We actually have 7. And There's stories in each one of those precious ones that we are waiting to see what God does, but believing that he's going to bring every one of them into his kingdom. Everyone, Vietnamese, and every one of our own children. And I just wanted to read you a little card that my son sent me. Jim is not one to say too much. He waits, he listens, and then maybe he'll speak. He's just a great guy. And he wrote me a beautiful card, and it's unusual. He usually doesn't put a note in, but this Mother's Day, he said, "Mom, I'm so grateful to God that you are my mother. You took such good care of me, and you loved me so well. Best of all, you prayed for me and told me about Jesus. Thank you. I love you, Mom." Thank you.